Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey there, creepies. Welcome to episode number 89. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, gentlemen?
Nothing too much. What's going on with you?
Not a whole lot. Nate, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Having a good night.
This is Tuesday night.
It is Tuesday. Yep. It's a strange night for
us. Why are we switching, Sean?
A little off.
Because I'm going to the Pacers game.
Pacers game
tomorrow.
That'd be fun for you.
Timberwolves tomorrow.
You brought this evil on to us.
I did. But it's
don't put you,
second row. Second row. I can't pass it up. Yeah,
you said it was close. Nice.
Yeah, Jen and I are going to go with another couple. So
fun.
He's hoping to be splattered by sweat.
I said, we're going to be close enough we can smell, but I can't smell, so it's not going to matter. But ooh. I remember. I've been
you stink.
I've been six rows up, and I remember thinking, man, you can smell their aftershave and whatever, you know.
That's cool. That'll be fun.
So, but yeah, it'll be close. The kids are going to be there too, but they're going to be with grandma and grandpa, mom and papa, Jenna's parents, because the school had tickets and Ella got them. And so there's six tickets. And but they're in the what Jenna's dad calls the NB, the nosebleed.
Nosebleed, yeah.
He's like, he goes, yeah, why don't you trade us? And I'm like, no.
For sporting events, I've been everywhere.
I've been too.
One time, my dad got me tickets for Rex Chapman, who played at Kentucky for 2 years, and he played in the Hornets and Wizards and all that. Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be the Bullets. So for my birthday in the early 90s, he bought Pacers tickets so I could see Rex, right? And usually, my dad, I've been at least 1,000 sporting events, games, football, college, pro. Anyway, and we kept going up and up. This is at Marcus Arena, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Up and up. And I'm like, are we going to start?
Touch the
we
ceiling,
literally
baby.
Were the second from the top. Like, if I just stand up and went, I could touch the top of Marcus Arena. I went, Dad, thank you so much, but I can't see the play.
Did you bring the binoculars?
I was like, holy cow. And then last March, you know, Amy and I and Elijah and his buddy Matthew sat on the floor. We're on the floor. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is wild. So I've been everywhere in between. I mean, I've mm-hmm. been, yeah, I mean, I've touched the top of Marcus Arena. And mm-hmm. I've been on the.
If you go up too high, you get a little dizzy because you're like not getting enough oxygen.
And I'm not kidding you. Marcus Arena, I don't know if you guys remember, but it was a straight shot. Oh, it was not a nice kind of a.
Gradual.
Uh-huh. My mom one time, we went mid-80s to see Dr. J, mm-hmm. who was my favorite. And my mom doesn't do heights. Well, we had a good seat. It was just in the middle, but that about did her in. I mean, she thought she was going to fall. It was like in outer space. Like if she, you know, I said, Mom, you're fine. So she walked in between my dad and I. You know, my dad's leading. I'm 12 or whatever. And my mom's like, get in the, I want to be in the middle. I want the middle. You know, like so I could either hold her or my dad could pull her. So that did not. Go over well. She and the whole game, she was nervous. I'm like, mm-hmm. Mom, you're not going to just fall. It's okay. You're all right.
We were at the Garth Brooks concert a couple of years ago, and there was a lady. We were so far up. I mean, you know, there wasn't really a bad seat in the house, but we were pretty far up. And this couple in front of us, she was older, and she fell over the seats. I felt so awful. They caught her.
Oh,
but I was just like, you know, you lose your bearings, and
you do.
I don't know how more people don't fall. But this lady did. I felt so bad for her. But they checked her, and the medics came and everything. But we're like, oh my gosh, that's that's like your worst case, you know, worst scenario kind of thing where you just like, oh, I feel like I'm gonna fall. Oh, I did fall.
I did.
I'm pretty comfortable.
I fell.
I'm pretty comfortable on
heights.
Well, stadium seating and stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me
because you've done all the work on them.
Well, it's better footing than being up on the iron.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, at least you're sitting, and it's something at least kind of around you, right?
You've been up to the highest heights and you've been to the lowest lows, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're comfortable.
At least here.
You're comfortable everywhere.
Yeah, it is interesting though. That'll be fun for you though.
I like it when you've been like stuck under some of those bridges. We've gone under bridge and like I worked on that bridge.
Oh.
That sounds awful.
That's water under the bridge.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know.
You should be proud, but man, it just
there are drawbridges. It have its up and downs.
Ups and downs.
All right, hey, the dad jokes.
Wait a minute. Wait, yeah, we're not to that point.
Yeah, I was trying my hand at it.
Not bad. Not bad.
Needs a little work.
Wait a minute. Let's go to the
finish the story.
Yeah.
There it is. I can't ever do it right.
Well, that is all right. We can just record on Tuesday night, so it works, right? Now, I will have to say.
That's a roundabout. All that discussion to be said for, we're good on Tuesday. Yeah,
they're, really good. They're like, let's see, we've learned that they've gone to sporting events and concerts, and they've had to sit up at the top of the stadium.
And I'm working really high and
took
very
us,
low.
Took us 5 minutes to get to this point.
Let's rehash. Kind of, it's kind you of want to rehash did. Again?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see that in reverse.
Now, I'm going to just throw it in here right now so you don't have to.
Okay.
I'm going to have to bail. So you're going to hear me at the beginning of this, as you are in the episode, and you're going to hear me at the end of it. But you will not hear me during the discussion.
This is this is different.
It's because of work. It's work.
Do you know how hard it is to fill space when we're used to having you spill?
Spill space?
Spill space? Fill a third of the space?
Spill anything.
Honestly, I probably rely on you for more than a third.
Spill space? Listen here.
Listen here, mister.
You're probably like two-thirds of it. We just kind of fill in the rest.
I just don't fill space.
I guarantee you that Nate and I will have to stop it for just a bit. Like, oh, I know.
You guys will do just fine. And it's because of work. So because of Thanksgiving, that was my work schedule.
No, be honest. You said you didn't get enough zeros this month.
I know. I need to write myself more zeros. A little short on zeros, but that's okay. No. You guys, I have full confidence that you guys will do a job.
You just jinxed us.
do a job.
Oh, I can't wait to listen.
You're going to miss a good one.
Yeah, I know, and I like this movie. But
he's not trying to guilt trip you.
We're not going
to
talk about it yet. What? I mean, we're not going to. I'll let you mention it.
Hey, okay.
But yeah. Anyway, so just give you a heads up, they're creepies. Sean, it says here you're going to give out the first announcements.
I am. The first part of the announcements.
I like that.
I am.
It's very direct.
I am right. Batman.
Me.
The main thing, we're having fun. We have guy nights, even on Tuesday nights, right?
That's right.
We build a community here, and that's the most important thing we can do is for the mental health aspect of it and making sure that everybody out there gets help. We need it. Everybody needs it out there, family, friends, creepies, the whole lot of us. So what we want to do is always give out information to be able to get help. And you can call or text hashtag 988. For any and all types of crises. And this is so important. We're adding this is don't be afraid to get help going to counseling. Find one that you feel comfortable with. And sometimes it can take a few times to find just the right counselor. And it's okay. If it doesn't work the first time, try again, right?
Took me a couple of times.
Yeah. So. You need to feel comfortable with the person that you're sharing with. And it's okay.
It's kind of like medication or anything. I mean, just.
It's kind of like dating. In a weird way.
Just because they're a counselor doesn't mean that you have to go with your first choice.
Well, that's right.
You need to jive with them. You need to. Not.
Just to preface, you're not really dating them. Don't go out there and say, so the guys at Middle Asian Creeped Out said it's like dating. It's not like dating. But it kind of is.
Nate, just whenever you want to, just cut his mic.
Edit this part. We also want you to visit stopbullying.gov for another way to get help with bullying, because bullying is a very important part of mental health.
That's right. Don't bully anybody.
None. Zero. Zip. Zilch.
Did I just bully somebody?
No bull.
Kind of
no bull.
I felt bullied a little bit.
We're going to bully you to not bully.
Go figure that out.
Very ironic.
Isn't it ironic? Hey, at least we gave the website. They can
we
help
did.
And we bullied.
Right? Full circle.
Yeah. Why are you, what's your problem? The guys at Mako, they bullied me.
They told me not to bully, but then they bullied.
That's why I'm here. Yeah.
How do you know?
In a roundabout way.
Oh, it's a podcast I listen to. Stop listening to.
Yeah.
Don't listen to that.
Then that counselor, he'll need counseling. He or she, yeah. Thank you, Sean, for that. But yeah, we want our creepies to be healthy, don't we? We want them to get help. Yeah, don't be afraid to go to counseling. It's I had an idea in my head 20 years ago. I'm like, this is so weak, and it's, I know I've mentioned it before, but it's needed. I mean, so if it's something you need, then don't be afraid, So thank you for that. And, you know what it's time for?
Oh, Oh, sorry.
I can feel the excitement. Wow.
That's the animal coming out. I just can't wait for it.
I'm just waiting for him to eat the microphone. Yeah. Is he turning into a werewolf? What are we doing?
I thought we were this is where we eat. This is the food segment.
I was falling asleep. I need to wake up.
Well, you're going to wake up.
Get him some caffeine.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Did you guys see the article about that nun at the convent that she was... She's trying to get them to be more comfortable, right? You know how they're kind of, they're dressed in their attire, you know, it's not like they're wearing sweatpants, but she thought footwear would be something that they could use that could be more comfortable. And she said, she's like, I think we should wear tennis shoes, specifically Converse Chuck Taylors. So she has proposed to wear those, and you know what they're going to be called?
Mm-mm.
Nunchucks. Nunchucks.
Oh.
That is.
Yeah, that popped in my head.
That's actually pretty
before
funny.
You got done.
So, yeah.
I still want to.
Like, I don't know where the story's going, but I'm pretty certain it's going to end with nunchucks.
I still want to mass produce shirts.
And you weren't disappointed, were you?
No.
I think I mentioned. I don't know if I mentioned this on air or off air, but I want to mass produce shirts that have nuns and they have the habits on them.
Yeah.
You know, the big hats or the little. I don't know what you call it. It's not really a hat, but it's a habit.
Flap hats, I call them.
Flap hats. There you go. That's
right. You got your flapjacks and flap hats.
Flap hat. And it just would simply say creature of habit.
Oh.
I think that's hilarious. Anybody I've pitched that to, except for one person, Candy, a friend of the show, and she also came up with the Paris Catacombs. She's like, Sean, do that right away. I'd buy one. You know, and she's like the only person that really appreciated that humor.
Well, that's
so, do you tell us?
That's, yeah.
Tell me. Yeah, I got one. That you guys are like, nope.
I want a picture of a nun wearing Converse Chuck Taylors, and it'll just say nunchucks.
Nunchucks.
I think we could get both of those going. I think yours would be.
Or a martial artist nun with nunchucks.
Now, see, I don't get that.
You don't get that? That's just as funny.
Wah, wah, wah.
Chuck Norris.
Oh, yeah.
Dressed up as a nun.
That would be nunchucks.
All the nuns are tuning out right now. You know that, right? They're like, I'm done. I'm done with these guys.
Or are people that aren't named Chuck, are they nunchucks?
Nunchucks.
And that is your dad joke of the show. You're welcome, Creepy.
That's good.
Thank you. That's good. Thank you. Where do we
I'm
where
glad
do we go
it's over. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Where do we go from here?
Where do we go?
It only goes downhill.
Where
you know
do
this.
We go?
I mean, it's such a high. So we reach such an elevated high, and then it just
it just deflates.
Yeah,
have nowhere to go.
Well, hey, let's tell the creepies what we're going to talk about.
We are going to talk about the Blair Witch Project, and this is Nate's pick. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Nate.
You're welcome.
All right, here we go. It is the discussion of Nate and I talking about the Blair Witch Project, right?
You betcha.
Yeah. So to me, this is, and I know Todd realizes this, but I think he might have realized this too late, that this is like the inmates running the asylum. You think that's a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, mm-hmm.
Sure thing.
So we are going to help you creepies run into a field of complete and utter absurdity. But now we're going to discuss the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. What I like about this is it has its own storyline that they created.
Yes.
And when it first came out, they sort of tried to make it sound like it was real.
Right.
And everybody was hook, line, and sinker.
Just about every. I have not met anybody out there that said, oh, I knew it was fake. I'm sure there were people out there. I fell for it.
Oh, I fell for it.
I can remember I was standing on a porch that the second house I grew up in, you know, basically my, you know, middle and teenage years, where the neighbor came over and she's like, oh my gosh, have you guys seen the Blair Witch Project? And I'm like, no, I've heard about it, you know, and she's like, she told, you know, the whole synopsis of it and everything. And then she's like, and it's real. And we're just all like, are you kidding me? No, it's just a made up story. And she's like, no, it's, they found this footage and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden, like, that changed it, like, from just a horror movie that was made up to, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? So we had to go see it.
Yeah.
And we saw it. And I just
remember. They put all the film together and made this movie of their adventure to go find the Blair Witch out at this house in the middle of the woods. And you watch the film and you're just like,
oh, my ever-loving God.
This is real.
Yeah. Well, so a brief synopsis, and this is your pick, Nate, to be fair, right? So you did this to us. So found video footage tells the tale of three film students, Heather Donahue, Joshua Leonard, Michael C. Williams, who travel to a small town to collect documentary footage about the Blair Witch, a legendary local murderer. Over the course of several days, the students interview townspeople and gather clues to support the tale's veracity. But the project takes a frightening turn when the students lose their way in the woods and begin hearing horrific noises. So that is what is, I'll never forget the scene where she's like crying, you know, Heather is crying into the camera and she's just like terrified, petrified, you know, like just.
Looks, they'd be sitting in their tents and all these kids' hands would start smacking the tent and laughing and making noise. And
Yeah,
it just freak them out.
That is, it's, and you're, I mean, they say your mind is the most powerful tool, and it is. And when it starts going, and like your imagination, and then when you're,
and it's like they're walking in circles too.
Oh yeah, they're, well,
like, we've been here before.
That's it. It is, and no, that's the thing is in, and you can't help but sit there and think about these people, these poor people, because you're like, oh my gosh, I know what's going to happen to them. Oh my gosh, they're not going to, you know, something horrible has happened. So your mind is creating this horrific turn of events before you even know, you know, that these guys are just, it's not going to go well for them in the end. So, but yeah, it was brilliant. It was in a perfect time too in history, because they, you know, the internet couldn't really say, wait a minute, this isn't real, you know, fact check that, you know. It was, they got away with it because,
And there's a website to go look at it. They had it set up to where
the trickery.
Yeah.
It was,
it seemed like it's real. And then finally the actors did an interview or something like that. It's like, yeah, we're alive.
Right. Yeah. Just everybody calm down. The funny thing is that I called it a fear campaign. There have been fear campaigns throughout history. This isn't a new idea, but with the way that they did this with this movie, it was pretty ingenious.
Yeah.
And like I said, and then, you know, like, okay, let's do a sequel. Well, it's never going to work the same way, you know, because like fool me once kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is for what they did and what they pulled off. It was kudos to them. And people still talk about it to this day, you know, everybody has their own feeling about it. Some people are like, nowadays you can say, oh, it's an awful movie. It was terrible. They tried to fool people.
I think it was ingenious. Nobody really did anything like that until then.
No, I agree. I totally agree. Now, in retrospect.
And even today, just putting myself at that time of when it came out, it still like sends chills up my spine. Just thinking about it, you know, at one time, you know, everybody was fooled that it was real.
Yes.
And they went as far as, like I said, they've established stories. So, like, this is the Blair Witch, Ellie Kedward, they say, lived from 1729 to February 1785, was an Irish woman who was banished from the town of Blair after several local people accused her of witchcraft. In February 1785, several children accused her of luring them into her home to draw blood from them. She was found guilty of witchcraft, banished from the village during a particularly harsh winter, and presumed dead. Different reports state that the town dragged her into the woods, tied her to a tree, and left her for dead. Young children from the township returned to investigate if Ellie had died yet. They found her alive and still tied to the tree. The children sent dogs after her and slashed her with sticks and knives. They dipped their hands in her blood and pressed handprints into her flesh before untying her and hanging her from the very same tree. By midwinter, all of Ellie Kedward's accusers, along with half of the town's children, vanished. Fearing of the being cursed or bewitched, the town people fled Blair and vowed never to utter the name Ellie Kedward again.
That's the thing, is that's one way to abandon a town, right?
And it's a good story.
It's a great story. And that's what they say, those bundles of sticks, and that shows up in the movie, you know, all that. That's the...
And I believe there's a rock where they found bodies and their entrails all...
Yeah, it's,
oh, you know,
that's the thing about everywhere. Using this folklore and the story and history, and then also just leaving it up to your imagination of what can happen and what's happening. You know, again, we've talked about it, and we just talked about it in the last many, you know, with kids. Anytime you put kids involved in some kind of a ghost story or witch's tale, it's just, it's disgusting. It is taboo. And it makes you think, ugh, like, how could somebody do that? But it is truly just pure evil. I like going to a fandom, which I love to do, by the way, when we have these discussions. It says the biographical information. So for the Blair Witch is full name, like you said, Ellie Kedward. Other names, the witch, something I can't pronounce, Hecate Omix and Hoki. The alignment is what we're talking about, pure evil. Affiliations is the Blair Witch Cult. So this makes it sound like this is something that goes deeper into, you know, the dark arts. You know what I mean? There's a video game, too, I am not familiar with. And apparently the quote is, "Take his face, you earned it." And that is at the ending of one of the video games. It's really disturbing, by the way. There have been, as far as I know, there was only another Blair Witch 2, right? There was only been a sequel, and then they've had some video game I have not played. The Blair Witch was a legendary being in Burkittsville, Maryland. Several events over the course of centuries became blamed on an exiled woman named Ellie, who was said to have practiced witchcraft. The witch is described by one woman as being covered in black fur, which is concealed beneath a wool shawl, and by another account having long spindly limbs. So that's why there's a picture of what this witch would look like. Now, can you imagine that thing coming at you?
Yeah.
Scary as all get out. So, that's just like a specter from a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. And then the movie ends with they found the house, but the one boy, he came up missing. They could hear him in the woods screaming, but they couldn't find him. So then the girl and the other boy end up finding the house. And then I believe the second boy that's with the girl ends up sort of like they separate at the house.
Yeah.
And then she's trying to find him.
Yes.
So she's all by herself, goes down in the basement.
And he's standing in the corner.
Yeah, looks across the dark basement room, and he's standing in the corner, facing the corner.
Yeah.
And that's like the end of the movie.
Because they say part of the lore is that the witch makes the children stand in the corner until it's their turn to receive whatever horrible thing that they're going to receive. So again, it leaves it up to your imagination, and it scares the living, you know what, out of you that, oh my God, what's going to happen to that guy? Yeah. What's going to happen to these kids? You know what I mean? It's just terrifying. It's horror at its best. I mean, there's no gore. There's no blood. You don't see the witch. It's up to your... It's kind of like Jaws, you know? Jaws, at least Jaws you see.
A lot of imagination.
Lots of imagination of what lies beneath. Wild. Yes, exactly. I think it's interesting where they said that, you know, you talked about half the town's children vanished without a trace in the original. They said that the townspeople, fearing a curse, they immediately fled Blair, vowing never to utter the name Ellie Kedward again. They said there's a book that was told of the trial of her execution and supposed rebirth, as well as the curse of the entire town. It contained the first record used to the term the Blair Witch. So there was an actual trial. So that's how she's lived, or this idea of the Blair Witch has lived throughout centuries, is because they feel like they were cursed by this person who they had one heck of a time trying to eradicate, and they were unable to do that. She lives on. I think it's interesting. I mean, because if you've ever tried to go out and hike, even in the daylight, and you're using trails, and you have, you know, a compass, and all, you have all these things, you know, the luxuries of finding your way, you can still get lost on some of these trails. You hear about people doing it all the time, like, I know where we're going. Hours later, you're, you know, you end up going in circles, and you're like, okay, let's go find a main road. And so people, like I said, even with all the luxuries of modern technology, you can still get lost. So if you can imagine just in this, you know, darkness and in the tent scene and all that, how they were literally going in circles and being led by this witch, basically to this cabin in the woods. Mm-hmm. It's freaky as all get out, but you can think, oh my gosh, that could actually happen. You know, yeah. You could totally be disoriented in nature. And then obviously if there's witchcraft or magic, you know, evil spells or whatever being placed upon you, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And not in a good way.
You're in trouble. Big time. Looks like they did shot the movie in Maryland for 8 days, had about 20 hours of footage, and was edited down to 82 minutes. Shot on an original budget of $35,000 to $60,000. The film had a final cost of $200,000 to $750,000 after post-production edits. I don't understand what the big difference is, but that is what is being reported. So yeah, it really didn't cost a whole lot to make this movie. I mean, granted, it didn't have a bunch of special effects or nothing like that.
Right.
It's more of a mind trip of anything, and they're trying to make it seem like original film that was discovered in the woods.
They did a good job with that. I think the other time that they tried to kind of do it, it wasn't quite as much trickery, but it made you think, was when they tried to re-release Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and they're like, this footage was found, you know, and it shows like a blur of leather faces.
Yeah.
And I think that was similar. That I remember watching that and thinking, ooh, this has got a little bit of a Blair Witch feel to it, you know.
Like, yeah.
This is footage that was found, and we don't, you know, we can't confirm exactly what this is, you know. So it's like some films have tried to do this too, but like I said, I don't think any in history has been able to do quite what this one did. And Josh Arnold, when we talked to him during the interview, what was it, 20, I believe, he talked about wanting to someday show his kids on an actual VHS and like, look, I know I'm not supposed to show you this, but this is really important footage that is just, you're never going to believe this, and like try to get them to buy into it, see if they can, you know, he can pull it off like they did.
Yeah, it looks like it it grossed nearly $250 million.
Wow. For such a low budget. It's all based on trickery, right?
At the time, it was one of the most successful independent films of all time and ranked 41st. Most profitable horror film.
Oh, wow. I think it's one of those that you, some people are guilty, feel guilty about liking it, but I don't think so. You know, I haven't seen it in years.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I have it on VHS. That's how long ago it's been.
Right? It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I would like to sit down, because I don't think any of my kids have watched it, and it would be interesting. I don't think you can keep from them, you know, like, oh, this is for real. You got to watch this, you know. But it would be interesting to see what their reaction is to this kind of a movie. You know, nowadays they're so desensitized to this kind of stuff. It's like, that's not that scary, Dad. But I can still remember how scared I was, and especially thinking that it was real. It was out of your, I mean, it makes you jump out of your skin kind of scary.
I think that's the biggest thing, is going into it with the mindset that it was real. That was part of the play on it, and I think it just added that extra push.
Right. Well, and I had never heard of, you know, a lot of these stories we're talking about from the actual Blair Witch that's talked about, you know, in folklore. I didn't know anything about that when I was a kid, so it would have been, if this would have been more talked about, maybe people would have realized, but I don't think it was a well-known thing.
But I don't know if any of those were really... They may have been made up because of the Blair Witch Project movie. That's what I'm trying to piece together while we're talking here.
Well, I don't. This is
because I looked at was the Blair Witch based on a true story?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, with the help of a web-based viral marketing strategy, a relatively new concept at the time, the Blair Witch Project generated huge buzz over the question of whether or not it was based on a true story. In fact, the story was entirely fake.
Really? So this is, I'm just learning this for the first time. See, going into this research, I know that it's fandom, but fandom, I thought this was like actual, okay, so you got me again, Blair Witch. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. That's why I was trying to piece together, because I kept finding stuff on Ellie Kenward.
Yeah.
And it made it sound like there's a historical element to this.
Yeah.
That they sort of took liberties to make their movie off of.
Oh, that's hilarious. But so they made all that up then?
It's all made up.
Oh, wow.
At least that's what this is saying.
I have a feeling, well, maybe I'm it. Like, I'm the only one. You and I are the only ones. Everybody else is like, duh. Like, knew that.
Duh.
Well, then I don't even. Why even share things like this? But this is funny.
Just to keep it going,
well,
I think.
Well, this makes this even more interesting, because I was like, it's so funny that you don't hear about these historical things because they're not real history. So on the for fun, then, this is part of the made-up folklore. Eileen Trickle? I don't know. See, now it does sound made up. In 1825, a year after the town was rediscovered and founded at Burkittsville, the villagers held the first annual wheat harvest picnic. During the event, 10-year-old Eileen Treacle wandered off towards Tappy East Creek. Okay, now I'm starting to see that this is all made up. And drowned in the shallow water. 11 eyewitnesses claimed to have seen a ghostly white hand reach up out of the water and pulled her in. The creek was searched, but Eileen's body was never recovered. Afterwards, the creek mysteriously became clogged with oily bundles of sticks, rendering the water useless for 13 days. A man drank the water sometime later, and it killed him, while several animals also got sick and died. The incident was the first of several to be blamed on the Blair Witch. Wow. So now reading that, yeah, and then there's a bunch of stories about all these different people. There's deaths of other people and massacres. Oh, wow. Massacre of the Burkittsville 7. So, yeah, they just made all this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Just to keep the story going.
I think we should just boycott everything that we've just. Like, I didn't like the Blair Witch very much. I thought it was terrible. I hated it. I do like the a lot of the pictures. The this old hag, old Blair Witch. It's cool. Man, think about that, man. Like, it's kind of like creating Dracula, like Bram Stoker. Mm-hmm. You know, like take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then create this fantastical storyline that feels old, ancient, and realistic. And then people don't know the difference between reality and fiction. And that's how you get yourselves a real, genuine horror character, right? That's wild. I can't believe. Yeah, I feel kind of like a little befuddled by that.
Yeah.
Because I did not realize that. This is funny. This is another Robin Weaver in 1886. 8-year-old Robin Weaver was in the forest around Blair, which was rediscovered and renamed Burkittsville, when she got lost and met an old woman whose feet, according to Robin, did not touch the ground. Well, that's a sure sign you should need to run. She was initially straight, but then she became the old woman who acted in a seemingly generous manner, and she followed the old woman deep into the wood to an old abandoned house, which she entered. Robin followed the woman and entered the house and followed the woman down to the basement, down in the bowels of the house. The old woman said she would depart and left promising to return. Hours passed as Robin sat in the basement, which slowly grew darker as afternoon faded into the evening. Robin grew more and more frightened. She had been feeling a growing feeling of evil ever since she stepped into the basement. And she pictured herself all alone in the woods, which were becoming swamped in the darkness of the evening. Robin stood up and found a window in the basement through which she squeezed herself and then ran through the darkening wood and out of the woods completely, racing back to Burkittsville, to which she returned safely, although from then after she avoided the woods, claiming to feel an evil presence around the Burkittsville Forest. While Robin had been in the basement, however, she had been missed. Her grandmother had become anxious about her, and she had alerted the authorities. Burkittsville police sent a search party up into the woods to rescue her. At the same time, Robin was led into the cellar by the old woman she had met in the woods. The police arrived in the woods and began looking for Robin, but when they arrived at Coffin Rock, the evil spirit of Ellie Kedward, the Blair Witch, assailed the search party, having just left Robin in the house in order to seek out the search party. The search party were soon slaughtered by Ellie, who disemboweled them and left their corpses on Coffin Rock, which is what you were talking about, then returned to the house supposedly to kill Robin. However, she discovered the empty house and realized that Robin had fled. Infuriated, Ellie took the corpses of the search party, dragged them off into the forest, all in a matter of 2 hours, but not before another search party had witnessed the corpses and knew of an evil force in Burkittsville Woods. This gets crazy. But again, like I said, reading all this, I was just like, man, this is just like real stuff. Oh, man. Somebody had a really good imagination for horror.
Yeah. And I mean, they went all out on this thing for the longest time until, like I said, the actors finally did an interview. I mean, you couldn't find anything. Is it? You know, the early stages of internet, and so everything you looked up,
I mean, you were like, this is real.
This is real.
Yeah.
And even, like I said, you went to the website for the movie.
It just perpetuated the myth.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh, yeah, and this, the folklore. This is real. We found it here in Maryland, blah, 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 blah. Now, I've heard, I haven't found anything actually stating it, but I've heard that... Maryland has sort of adopted this story
as part of their
as part of their
pseudo history.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So yeah, take the movie and it was wild, the concept and everything, and they're just like, okay, yeah, it's part of our.
I love
state
these
history,
right? I love these made up stories, though. I do feel duped again, though. I really do, but that's okay. I'll live with that. This one's great. The Massacre of the Burkittsville Seven. In late 1940, a hermit named Rustin Parr began abducting children from Burkittsville, having been previously ordered by the evil spirit of Ellie, Kedward, to walk into Burkittsville and take the first group of children he found. He accomplished this by promising candy to the children. As Rustin was already being driven mad by the spirit of Ellie, stumbling about the woods at night and chanting foreign phrases in his sleep, this was an easy task for him to accomplish. He took the children back to his secluded house and brutally disemboweled them, just as Ellie Kedward had done with the search party. Rustin hid his secret for 2 days until Ellie reappeared to him in his dream and proclaimed, "Peace shall come to thee if thee reveal thy actions." Rustin followed out this order and walked into town claiming, "I'm finally finished." Initially, no one knew what he meant, but the police ventured into the woods seeking his abode and found the 7 corpses of the children in the cellar. They removed them, taking them into Burkittsville, and this revelation tore up the community. The citizens of Burkittsville proclaimed Rustin Parr guilty as charged and desired to have him executed. Parr did not deny anything. He confessed to the last degree, informing the authorities of Burkittsville that he was merely doing an old woman dressed in black, or doing what an old woman dressed in black told him to do. Parr was convicted, and the authorities executed him by hanging in 1941. Man, that gets deep.
Okay. I finally found some stuff. They had welcome signs to the town, Burkittsville. But since the movie, all 4 of the signs disappeared, and there was all the signs were replaced by metal signs paid for by an artisan entertainment who owned the rights to the Blair Witch Project. They are welded to metal poles. The metal signs were auctioned off in 2007 and replaced with new signs designed by the Burkittsville community. A lot of the movie wasn't even shot around that town. It was shot near the town, but in like a state park and all that kind of stuff. But because the name of the town was in the movie, everybody that wanted to sort of do their own Blair Witch hunt, like flocked to this town.
Isn't that crazy?
So it says that
this is very successful.
The local community have also capitalized on the opportunity, selling an array of merchandise ranging from Blair Witch Project t-shirts to Blair Witch rocks.
Don't you do it.
Excuse me.
Don't you be on.
And dirt from the Burkittsville Cemetery.
That's wild. That is crazy. I mean, that's talk about like, you know, just perpetuating your own like imagination. And this is crazy. Mm-hmm. I love this part where it comes into like actually making the movie or how in the movie the folklore spins into modern times. In around 2014, Heather's brother or younger brother, James Donahue, received recent evidence of a video showing Heather alive and running from an unknown person. He saw that she was in a house in a forest that no one had ever been able to find. He thought there was a chance she was still alive and decided to film his search of her and the house in the forest. He took him with him five friends, and at least four of them were murdered in separate violent attacks. The fate of the final surviving two, James and Lisa, is unknown. They were last recorded in a room in the house where Lisa recorded James vanishing from sight before she suffered the same fate. They both disappeared before the sign of light. Towards the end of their footage, a figure is briefly seen that appears to be James' missing sister. However, on closer inspection, the figure appears to be wearing a wool shawl, which Heather is never seen wearing at any point, and which covers a poorly lit black mass which covers most of her visible body. Ugh. The witch. Man, that's crazy. That's just great though, honestly. I find this to be even more fat. Like, you know, I thought this is a great movie. This was a great way that they did this. It was 1999. This was ingenious. The internet was pretty young. You couldn't do a lot of fact checking. It's just, what is it? 81%, 86 on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.5 stars out of 10. I still don't think they give it enough credit. For what I remember, I thought it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've only watched it like I own it, but I only watched it maybe three times and I haven't watched it recently at all. I think it's definitely going to be one that I need to go back and watch again.
Yeah,
like you definitely. Said with my boys.
Just see what, yeah.
See what their take is on it. Like, play the whole thing like how they did it to us back in the day.
Right.
Like, this is actual footage that they found in the woods.
I think that's so funny.
They put it together in a movie.
And see, and just down and just let see, it spin, right?
Yeah, see how the conversation ends at the end of the movie, talking with them. I think I'll have to do that.
Why, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Right? So this is so funny, though. Blair Witch, Burkittsville gained uninvited attention with the 1990 release of the film The Blair Witch Project and the franchise it spawned. The poor town of Burkittsville suddenly found itself overrun with Blair Witch groupies, wandering around the woods trying to find the real places where the story had happened. Contrary to popular belief, however, the majority of the film was not filmed in Burkittsville, like you said, but in Maryland's Seneca Creek State Park, about 25 miles away. The events depicted in the film and the legend of the Blair Witch itself are fictional. Furthermore, other potentially identifiable landmarks from the Blair Witch story, Coffin Rock, Black Hills, Black Rock Road, and the local convenience store are not located in the real Burkittsville or the immediate surrounding area, but rather in Germantown, Maryland. So I think that is so interesting. So yeah, this story just unfolded for me even more so. I like this though. So this was a great
funny
choice.
How that happened, huh?
It is, yeah, because I swear I did some research on it, but I was really just focusing more on the actual movie and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh, it's cool that it's got a history too. And I really had not delved that much into it, obviously, because surprise, surprise.
Well, what got me into wanting to do this as an episode was one of the other episodes we've done. I was doing my normal web surfing, and this topic came up, but then I saw, and I don't ever recall in the movie them naming her by name. They might have, but it's been a long time since I've seen the movie.
All right, me too.
But I saw a thing, Blair Witch, and then it said the Ellie Kidward, and I was like, oh, maybe there is a little bit of truth to this.
Yeah.
But then I knew going into it that everything was made up.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if it was to the point of did they go back?
Like loosely based made, or?
Yeah, if it was loosely based on an actual person, or did they actually take the time and like do a full history on this, mm-hmm. you know, that was fiction.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a lot like The Bell Witch. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, that's what I thought this was. And I was like, man, this is like too good to be true. And we found out that's absolutely right. I do want to say Todd did text me. Like, Todd was, he did our with intro and the outro with us. And he was not able to make this discussion. But he said, please let the creepies know that I said hello. And sorry, I wasn't part of the discussion. So, hello, Todd. We're taking care of things again. Inmates running the asylum. Here we go. But I think he's going to find this interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder, he'll be like, guys, I knew this. Duh.
I knew all this.
What are you talking about, right?
I got a totally different text message from him.
Did you?
Yeah. Said, hey, make sure you shut your garage door.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll shut it, right?
Okay.
And who let Sean in, right? This was a good discussion.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Even more neat. So than I thought. I knew I was going to enjoy it, but that was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, reminiscing on the old feels of this movie.
What'd you think, Todd?
And the thing is, I haven't watched the sequels.
I haven't either.
I didn't want to taint
that first feeling.
The first movie.
I don't think they could live up to that. I don't know.
But I may venture down to watching them just to see what they're about. I did quickly see that the third movie.
So there is a third movie.
The third one was in 2016.
Okay.
And I think it goes by the same, the Blair Witch Project name.
Okay.
But it's the third movie.
Okay.
They didn't put a number with it because from what I was reading, it takes off from the first film.
Okay.
And it ignores the second film.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, like I said, I haven't seen the second one. So yeah, I don't even know where, you know,
and I think I've played the video game.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
But I think I played it. It wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good. The truth comes out, right?
Yeah. If I did play it, I vaguely remember seeing like the stick figures hanging out of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole lot of excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it eerie, though? Was it weird? It's like,
maybe when you first start playing it.
Yeah.
Sort of like when you play...
Alone in the Dark. No. That's what that makes me think of.
The Nintendo, what is it? Friday the 13th, Camp Crystal Lake or whatever. And like, you have to try to find Jason.
Oh yeah. Right.
And it's like, he just like would come at you at random.
Uh-huh.
Sort of like that, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like,
not that it's like,
you first start playing. It's like, oh, this is going to be so scary. So yeah, crazy and creepy. And then, yeah. It doesn't take too long.
Anticlimactic.
Yeah. It doesn't take too long. You're like, okay. So, yeah, it was a good one.
I do. I think so. This is going to go in the gallery. But this is also in the gallery of No Todd, so that's okay. It's kind of, we got some Todd, though. That was good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you just never know who's going
to jump out. You have enough time to do the intro and outro.
That's so right. And that's you cool. said next week you're going to jump out so that we can just do this, right?
Yeah, I'll be here, but I...
You won't be here?
I won't be here.
You'll be mute. Hit the mute button. You'll be miming your entire performance, right?
No, I don't have to be completely silent, but if you guys ask me something, I'll just... Nope.
Grunt. Groan. Putting on the ridge.
It's like, you guys get to take days off. Why can't I take
Why
a
can't
day
I? Off? I can still turn knobs and push buttons, right? But... No, I totally get it. All right. Now, you've already done your rap, so I don't know how we take this out, but we just stop talking.
Todd will bring you into your, what'd you do tonight? A middle-aged.
How dare you forget? It is a dark side.
Dark side. There you go.
So, Sean, what do you have for us for your segment?
Well, I have decided to go middle-aged dark side this time.
All right.
I know you love it when I do that, so that's why that's partly why I did it, and with this discussion.
We never know ahead of time.
Never know. This is Chevelle. Does anybody know Chevelle? Any Chevelle fans out there? Anybody, anywhere?
Nice cars.
It is
muscle car.
It is a good car. It's also a good band.
Oh, okay. I don't know the band. Should I?
Well, I don't know if you, I never know if you've heard these songs or not. I wasn't with you all your whole life. Sorry. only part of it, right? That's probably fair, right? This is Send the Pain Below.
Mm.
It's much less suffocating.
Sounds
great. It says, I like having hurt, so send the pain below where I need it. You used to beg me to take care of things and smile at the thought of me failing. But long before having hurt, I'd send the pain below, much like suffocating. And it repeats that a few times. I send the pain below, much like suffocating. You used to run me away all while laughing, then cry about the fact till I returned. But long before having hurt, I'd send the pain below, much like suffocating, much like suffocating. I'd send the pain below. I can't feel my chest. I need more. Drop down. Closing in. I can't feel my chest. I like having hurt, so send the pain below. It's much like suffocating. And then they talk about, I like having hurt. This to me is, it's a dark song, but it's also very, there's a lot of therapy in it. we hurt, you know, this song when I can remember listening to this as a teenager. And I remember thinking just, it's one of those that you can get some catharsis from. And it feels like when you're having pain, it really resonates with you. And it allows you to have a way to get that energy out. Because sometimes there's some dark stuff that you're dealing with. I know people out there listening are dealing with loss, tragedy, trauma, whatever, you know, suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety.
Loneliness.
You name it, loneliness.
And especially this time of year.
Absolutely. So to me, this dark side, you know, you talk about just sending that pain below. You just really push that down. But we really need to make sure that we're dealing with the pain. The pain is an indicator there's something wrong, you know, body, mind, and spirit. And so I've always liked this song. And it is. It's one of those that's like, I play some of this music that I used to listen to when I was younger. And my kids are like, Dad, that's dark. And I'm like, it is pretty dark. But I can remember some of the times and some of the things I was going through or some of the dark times and listen to this. It made me feel better. So sometimes, mm-hmm. like you listen to some of the hard metal or the thrash songs that people listen to, you're like, man, that's rough. But it really does help people. So music is therapy. And like I said, this song, you can look at it on the surface and think, it's kind of dark. But
sometimes it takes dark stuff like that, lyric mm-hmm. songs or even watching a movie, something to meet the darkness that you feel.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And so if you hit it head on, you right. can actually, yeah,
that's how
benefit from it.
That's how I felt with this. And like I said, this topic that Nate and I are going to discuss. Or did discuss. How am I saying that?
Yeah,
we're weird. That's all right. We're experimenting yes. with this.
Yeah.
But it's a dark subject. And so, like I said, I think I thought
like
it a good message coming out of that darkness.
Very well, good.
I think
send the pain below.
It also goes back to you always feel like you're alone, but then if you listen to a song that sort of speaks to you with what you're going through mentally,
mm-hmm.
whether it be dark or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, other people have gone through it.
It gives you something to relate to.
To hold on to.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where they say where, and I've said this before, and I know it sounds very trite. I'm going to say it again, though. Where there's life, there's hope. And even there have been times where I'm thinking, I don't even know what I'm talking about. But it's true. If you really just hold on through some of those difficult moments, you can make it. And there is another side where you start to heal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just feels like there's no way out. But there is, you know, and if we can be that a little bit of light to help people through that darkness,
I hope
I hope so.
I made really a post do. The other night. I hope we are. Like I love, we love doing this for what we get out of it. Mm-hmm. Like I'll say the lighter stuff. But I hope somebody
that resonated with
is
me
really
when
going
you
through
asked
like
that
smile
question.
For an hour or whatever they're listening to half
you,
hour that, many.
When you brought know. That up, it resonated with me because it does. It, you know, I love what we're doing here, but I mm-hmm. love the idea that we can help people in the process. It's
well, the,
so not worth it if we're not.
The dark, hard times of your life are educational learning points for your life, too. You learn so much mm-hmm. going through that struggle.
No, that's...
You're talking about You talk about being friends with me for a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's no greater struggle. than what you? I mean, did I say that?
You thought this was his sound engineer trophy, but this is his putting up.
No,
but
all seriousness, you're right.
Sorry,
James just didn't want to.
That's right.
And by the way, this is for
this
dealing
is
with
really for
Sean.
Yeah. Way
no, it's true though. It's true, and I feel like
because easy times are easy.
Oh yeah.
To get through. I mean, you just sort of coast through it. You don't really learn anything about yourself or about life or, I mean, the struggles are what really create who you are.
Mm-hmm. And how you react to them and how you deal with them.
You call that the marrow of life. Is that what you mean? Mm-hmm.
You got to have
kind of
struggles.
Is.
No, I mean, you get in deep, dark spots with depression and that kind of stuff because of the struggles. And you don't really want to be there, but it sort of creates who you are too. Sometimes you just need help to get through those struggles.
Yeah, and there's different ways. And if this is like Sean, you said, if this is
the beacon,
just a little sliver of a way for somebody to smile or they get encouraged. Oh, you know what? I've been scared to go to counseling, or you know, whatever it is that I that's what I want. That's what we want from this podcast, you know?
Yeah,
like, what made me think about that post was like, I don't think we announced it, but something we're proud of, we reached 150,000 downloads last week. And so in just 20 months, something we are very proud. We love the numbers, but it made me think like, that's a lot of download, a lot of people listening, a lot of ears. And I'm like, I wonder how out of the 150,000 have we helped, you know, not that it's, we have. Great. If we haven't, it's not, you know, it's not a failure on our part, but like, I hope we are helping somebody. Well, and you know, things are going great. Just stay encouraged. Stay, I don't know. You know, I just want it to be real. Mm-hmm. I don't want just downloads for our podcast. I want that because that shows people are listening. Mm-hmm. So I want, okay. And like you said, Sean,
you want it to be meaningful though.
I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what, when I go to other podcasts, that's what I want is I want that, you want it to be cozy. You want it to be comfortable. You want it to be something that people go to as an escape sometimes for the stresses and the darkness and the other parts of their life. And it is, it's just to, you know, to be able to say, okay, things aren't so bad, you know, or take time to laugh, to learn something, to just, you know, be part of something. That's what makes this really cool, you know, and totally worth it.
It's like what they say, you know, we put our hand on the stove and good thing we feel pain because it teaches us not to do it again.
Pain is the greatest teacher. Yeah.
That's right. And as I keep yanking my headset off. anyway, no, that was a great middle-aged dark sign.
Well, thank you.
And I have never heard that group and song.
You should listen to that song. Absolutely.
Where were they from? Like
Chevelle? I don't know. Do you know?
You said,
I think they're still touring.
Okay. Do they still tour?
I think so.
Cause that was, I like that. I really enjoyed that. So I'm going to check them out.
Sort of came out like maybe a little after like Papa Roach and Dust and all those bands.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to remember that.
American rock band
maybe
formed
around
in,
like Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah. They're
around that era.
They're from Grace Lake, Illinois in 1995.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. That'd be. Yeah.
They were originally composed of two brothers, Pete Loeffler and Sam Loeffler, excuse me. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I honestly didn't know that much about them, but just that I enjoy their music. Mm-hmm. So,
cool.
Their picture is as recent as 2014. So,
okay. Yeah. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not.
Either
way,
post grunge.
I'll check them out.
Is what they're
post grunge. Yeah.
New metal.
Well, you know, real quick, speaking of grunge and what we're talking about, I'm drawing a blank on the DJ's name on Q95 in the evenings, afternoon and evenings. Like, you know, on the way home from work.
Is it Gunner?
Gunner.
Oh, Gunner, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name. He was talking about how the grunge scene had all, you know, you got, what song was it? I'm literally losing my mind here trying to think of all this stuff. Anyway, the grunge scene, you know, Kurt Cobain and who we've lost over the last six, seven, eight years, all these lead singers, because they struggled with mental health and depression and, of course, you know, taking their own lives. I was thinking, man, that is, you know, it's dark music. I mean, like they had it. That was their outlet. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously it didn't help some of them, you know. Maybe it did. They could have maybe taken their lives earlier, but then they just something, you know. But anyway.
And they got carried into the rock and roll lifestyle and that kind of stuff.
And the indulgences. Yeah. But he was mentioning, and it got real serious. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, that's. Anyway, he's just talking about all the different bands. And,
I mean, mainly
the grunge. You know?
I don't want to bring in this. I mean, we're talking about music here and entertainment, but this is part of entertainment. But just recently, over the weekend, the guy that played the Green Power Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Away.
He was only 40 or something.
49.
He committed suicide. Oh, 49. Okay. It's still pretty young.
And I was surprised at like how young he is that he died. And then Nate, a couple hours later, was telling me, he's like, he committed suicide. I'm like, oh,
okay.
My
gosh. Yeah. I don't know if I knew that.
Okay. I mean, he had all these accolades and he was a martial artist of all these different.
Had like five different black belts and different
martial arts.
Yeah, none of that sustained you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what I was reading is like this summer, his wife filed for divorce and
he's having personal issues and
so just personal struggles. Probably didn't think he had anybody he could turn to talk to, and
that's one thing.
It affected a lot of people.
Make sure you have someone, if it's just one person that you can go to on if it's 2 a.m. and you're having something that's
Power Rangers are a big thing for a lot of people I mean, a lot of generations grew up with Power Rangers, and even like recently. And to see, a lot of people reacted to that when he was gone. People were like, oh my gosh, no, and so it did. It really hit.
I had
people.
No attachment to the Power Rangers. I was in my 20s. Yeah. But human to human, I do.
Right.
I've been through a divorce and job problems and money problems and all that in the past. So, yeah. But anyway, just find somebody to listen to and don't ever think you're bugging them. Right. So don't do that.
Yes.
We love you guys. So I know we got serious, but that's what it takes. And that's what I want us to do. Yeah. That's what we want us to do.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So very good, Sean. You spurned a very good conversation there.
Well, I'm glad. Now, are we ready for the second part of the announcements, or are we already to the third part? Or fourth? Just go to the second, right, Sean?
Nate.
Cutting his mic.
The script, not script, says, okay. The second part of the announcement.
I apologize.
You can follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, all the social medias, right? Or most of them anyway. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how we're doing, show ideas, merch orders. I'll talk about that in a second. Catch us on Tuesday Terror videos every Tuesday.
Don't you say it, son of
every Tuesday, yes. Not. On Thursdays. I play my musical instruments over here. You can also sponsor them. $50. Email us if you're interested. It can be a business or an individual. Mm-hmm. We are on all podcast apps, so come listen, subscribe, and please give a 5-star rating and review. Tell someone you know. Word of mouth means everything. Mm-hmm. We do sell merch, like I said. You can come get our logo on anything. Let's just be honest.
You know, we are approaching the Christmas time, the Christmas season. What else is there other than Mako merch? What else would you buy somebody?
I don't know. I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know what to buy.
Mako engagement ring?
You think so? Wow.
A Mako planchette?
They're serious.
Oh, wait, no. That's Ouija board.
That's even better than my Mako bathrobe I was going to buy.
Right. You're coming in Hugh Hefner style someday, right?
Right, right.
Hugh?
With my Mako pipe.
Please tell me you have underwear on.
I don't smoke, but...
Blow bubbles out of it.
Please don't come in here. I could just see you going, I'm out there, Jared. I'm loving every minute of it. Now, that's creepy.
That is creepy. I'll admit.
Shoot. Okay, so we sell merch. Go get you some. We also offer segment sponsorships on our episodes, only $50 per segment. Email us if you are interested for more information. And I really am done this time. I'll skip the third and fourth announcements.
It was a decent job. In a roundabout way.
You're done for the night, aren't you?
Right. I'm going to.
Geronimo.
But you know what? Other than the dad joke, thank the good Lord for what we're about to hear next. It is Nate's turn. Nate, help us out.
Which way do you want me to go with this? That's a wrap.
Which way?
Not the sandwich.
I don't have anything else. Thank you, sir. Thank you for that. And we want to thank our creepies for listening to this episode number 89. Mm. That's and, hard to believe. The guy's discussion on the movie, The Blair Witch Project. So until next time, Nate is your sound engineer, award-winning sound engineer at that. And we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.
Well, that was a good discussion.
I'm glad you liked it.
Hey, cheater. Hold on, Todd.
Fabulous.
Hold on, hold on.